Oh, we're way past 10 seconds.
Oh, that's as much as we needed. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Pork Therapy.
Yes, we're getting you on the Pork Therapy love seat, and it's a little more empty now because we're by ourselves. What are we going to do now, Mike? I guess we're going to take over the world, right?
Take over the world.
Of course. So somehow you came back and you're listening to us again.
I cannot figure out why,
no,
but I don't want to ask
I.
too many questions because I appreciate it.
Yes, lest we lose you as a
listener.
That's right. You're hanging on by a tenuous thread. So, listeners, how are you since the last time we've spoken?
You just asked the audience a question?
Yes.
Well, let's just wait until they respond.
Rhetorical question.
<That's> right. I'll rephrase it. I hope you're doing well, audience.
Yes, I hope so too. Ditto. And what's our website? Should we give it out? We haven't given it
out. Sure. Yeah. Porktherapy.com.
Yes.
Twitter.porktherapy.com. Facebook.porktherapy.com.
Yes. You can just fill your days with pork therapy. Aren't you lucky? In case you couldn't get enough of us.
Boy, if you do have nothing better to do except listen to this podcast, wow.
Yeah, even we have better things to do than listen to this podcast, right, Mike?
Unfortunately, we don't have better things to do than making it, so here we are again.
Yeah, but see, actually, let's talk about that. You told me before we started recording this that you don't listen to our episodes after we record them.
I'm not opposed to listening to them, I just haven't because, you know, I'm here when we're recording it. I heard the conversation.
Yeah, although, I don't know, I always find, this is kind of a personal thing, but I always find that, like, we'll record the episode, and after we hit the stop button when we finish recording, the first thing I think is, God, that fucking sucked so bad. That was the worst podcast we ever did.
They're all the worst.
Yeah, basically they're all the worst. Like they're
and then when
they're all equally bad in my mind after we finish recording. Even though it's really fun to do, I just think we did so poorly. Like we didn't articulate ourselves well. We had no structure to the conversation.
Well,
we talked around the question. We didn't actually answer what the person wanted us to say, and just overall really shitty.
But when you
mention the audio quality, that goes without saying. And that's always been a problem. But
so our.
But wait a minute, I
wasn't. Oh, my bad.
But then,
heaven forbid I should interrupt you.
Yeah, God knows I do it to you often enough, but it's okay. We're good friends here on Pork Therapy. We're
all friends on the couch.
Yes, we're all friends, all two of us, our only friends. But I was going to say, after I actually listened to the episodes, and sometimes you are kind enough to give me a sneak preview of the episodes before they get posted on the website, which is very, very cool. I listened to the episode and I think, wow, hey, you know, that wasn't half bad. That was actually pretty funny.
Cool.
Some point.
I think you're right. If I listened to them, I could hear where, you know, I thought I said something stupid or had a stupid technique or I'm speaking too close to the microphone or something. So I should probably listen to them.
Yes. Or you farted on the air.
Well,
something like that
might never happen. Never.
That never has happened. I don't know why I said that. I was just kidding.
So aside from my inability to listen to my own product.
Besides, you have a great voice.
Well, thank you very much, Big Mama.
Oh. You're welcome. So the Elvis of the Free State Project over here.
Well, although someone else has better lamb chops than I do.
Oh, that's true. I know this person. They do have better lamb chops. You don't have lamb chops. You have a goatee.
You know, I have grown them out
before,
though.
What is with the farm animals and the facial hair?
There's
lamb chops, a goatee, right?
Yeah, but what else?
I don't know. Mutton chops.
Oh, well,
right?
maybe instead
of
lamb
chops. Is that
like
lamb chops? Is that the same thing?
I probably should. Yeah, whatever. They're probably not lamb chops. They're mutton chops.
What's the difference? I thought mutton chops were just sideburns that extended, like, way beyond the normal limits of a sideburn.
That's what I thought lamb chops were, so it's the same thing.
But the person you were referring to has lamb chops that go, like, off of his face.
Oh, okay, so there's the difference.
Or at least the person I thought you were referring to.
Yes, but
I don't know if you're really...
I had no idea there was a difference between lamb and mutton chops as far as hairstyles
go.
Well,
mutton is an older lamb. Right?
You are way overanalyzing this.
No, it's true. I mean, mutton is it has a distinctive taste, right? It's the same animal, but a mutton is older and a sheep, a lamb is a young. Oh.
You realize we spent 5 minutes talking about nothing? I feel so sorry for any person still listening.
Yeah, well, we usually spend about 30 minutes talking about nothing, so this is actually pretty good. So, okay, well, now
do we actually have a question this time?
I think we do have a question, and this question is actually a pretty serious and good question that was asked to me in person by my phone a friend. I used my lifeline and I phoned a friend before our recording session tonight.
That's right.
And when the podcast is really getting bad because nobody sends you questions, and so you have to actually solicit
Make
the questions.
Please ask us a question.
I shouldn't have said that. Maybe you can bleep that out or something. I shouldn't have admitted that I had to solicit this question. But
why? We admit we suck in every other way.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's this solicited question?
Okay, so the question is, it was a very good question, actually. It is, the question asker first started out by saying we should talk about reciprocity in relationships. And I said, okay, well, can you elaborate on that? And then he said, well, how do you make sure that relationships, friend relationships, cohabitating relationships, loving relationships, business relationships, any kind of relationships, how do you make sure that they stay egalitarian and that one party in the relationship is not exerting coercion over or exploitation over the other?
Okay, so before I start answering that, I want to just, I guess, clarify. What do you mean by egalitarian? Do you mean equal?
See, I hear the words egalitarian, coercion, and exploitation, and immediately I think of communism or something. Right? But I don't think that's what he meant. I think this person just thinks that relationships in every sense should be voluntary.
Voluntary, yes.
Absent of coercion, and I guess he doesn't like the power dynamic that he sees in some relationships, which is enabled by the state. Like, I guess I'm specifically thinking of maybe business relationships where some maybe firms or corporations are enabled with state-granted monopolies or
okay, so
something
by,
like that.
So by egalitarian, he means keep it voluntary, not keep it equal or something. Just keep it voluntary.
I think he does mean keep it equal, too. I mean, we don't have him here to clarify, but I think he means to keep, I guess, if you're talking about a relationship that has two parties, to keep the two parties on equal ground.
Okay, well, first of all, then, before answering that, I'll say that there are some relationships that voluntarily don't want to be equal.
Oh, yes, I can think of a relationship that this person might have voluntarily entered into
that
has a power dynamic.
And as long as that's voluntary, that's fine. Maybe someone wants to be controlled or supervised
or wants to be
cared for
or
topped or bottomed, yeah, or be a sub or whatever. So equal, I think, is not irrelevant, but to this question it is. If this question is saying, how do you keep all relationships equal? Well, why would you want to? Some relationships voluntarily don't want to be equal. So, however, if he meant, how do you keep them voluntary, I think that's a hugely important question.
Yes, I think that's a central question about, like, how to live your life, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if your relationship with your community, with your friend, with your whatever religious figure you exists,
yeah,
with your lover, with whatever, how do you keep those relationships voluntary and...
Mm. Well, okay. Let's take the example of the lover or the, okay. For those who didn't get the innuendo before, we were talking about a situation where, there's a relationship between two people and the relationship has a dom sub component where one person, either in their sexual relations or for some people in like all aspects of life, one person is telling the other person what to do, ordering them around, maybe physically inflicting pain
right.
on them or something like that. And, you know, these relationships...
Now, we're not talking about abuse because
in this example,
the other person wants to be the submissive.
Right, exactly. They derive pleasure out of it. And
yes.
So in that sense, it's voluntary because they want to get that pleasure. And so they're
right.
in this kind of relationship. Sometimes those relationships end in the bedroom and sometimes they don't, right? I think it's more common for them to
end
in the
yeah
when things leave the sexual realm, right?
And clearly, those kinds of relationships are not equal. It's intentionally unequal,
right? It's intentionally
but it's voluntary.
Unequal.
One right. person has a desire or a need to control; the other has a desire to be controlled.
Mm-hmm.
They each have a matching desire for a certain inequality. As long as it's voluntary, that's healthy.
Right. So voluntary, but not equal. Yeah. But in the same sense, though, like, okay, they might, you know, this hypothetical couple might have that component of power play or power exchange to their sex life, but they, maybe outside of the bedroom, yeah. they respect each other very much. They don't try to tell each other what to do. They are actually an egalitarian, having an egalitarian interaction because they consider each other, equally as important as themselves, right?
Essentially, yes. Yeah. Equally as important as themselves?
I don't know. Maybe that came out wrong. Just, but they consider each other equals.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So it seems to me in this kind of relationship, and we're talking about the sexual?
Wait.
At the moment, the sexual type of relationship, Dom Sub?
Oh, sure. Okay. So
it seems to me in those kinds, the way to maintain the healthy, you know, voluntary organization that you establish
mm-hmm.
would be to discuss boundaries.
Yes.
To have boundaries
to communicate.
And communicate.
Yeah. Right. And that's why, like...
Like, maybe your agreement or what you're comfortable with is you control me, you're the dom, I'm the sub, in the bedroom, i.e. sex.
Right.
But not with money, or not around the kids, or whatever.
Right. And you don't tell me what I'm going to eat for breakfast.
Right.
You just tell me...
It ends,
you
know, when we're done
playing.
Get down
on your knees, and I'm going to spank you now, or something.
Right, right. And, you know, as long as you communicate that and then check it, like, once a month or once a year or whenever someone infringes, say, hey, we didn't agree to this and I'm not comfortable, let's keep it under control or something.
Well, yeah, communication is totally essential in those types of scenarios. Like,
and ongoing.
Yes, and what I was thinking of, what came to mind when you said that was when some people play with, you know, like power exchange, they have these things called safe words where, so they can actually say, oh, please stop, you're hurting me, or whatever. But that's just part of the game. They don't really want the other person to stop. Like, mm-hmm. the sub can say that.
Right. Yeah.
They don't really want the top to stop. They're just saying that because it adds to the excitement. But if they say, you know, banana, or if they say red, like yellow and red are really common ones, right? Like, yellow means slow down and red means
stop. Yeah.
You need to stop. So, I mean, those words are actually a signal to mean something real.
And that's essentially evidence that this is not abuse. They are arranging and advance their boundaries. And
defining saying, all the terms in what they want to happen.
And they're saying, if I say stop and if I refuse, you know, and repel you, don't stop. But if I say banana, the game's over.
Right.
I like banana better
than
red.
Banana too. Bananas are actually yellow.
Oh, don't!
Not like you didn't know that. Stating the obvious here on Pork Therapy is one of the things we do best. So we started out talking about BDSM.
Right.
And we are talking about egalitarian relationships. But what about... What about friendship relationships?
Sure.
How do you have reciprocity? Reciprocity was the other key element of this person's question, and I really like that.
Which
have you ever been in a friendship or a relationship of some kind where you felt like it was one-sided?
I certainly have in my life, but I don't anymore.
Right, because you eliminate those from your life because nobody wants to be in a one-sided friendship, right?
So,
like, you're the one who always calls, always makes plans, always is doing favors for the other person or whatever. Most people, I think, don't stay in relationships like that for too long. Unless they're gluttons for punishment and they you know, have
right.
some...
Right, and then that's a form of voluntary inequality. If they stay in it.
Is that voluntary, though? Because, I mean,
well, it's
I
voluntary,
don't know.
Even if, although they're, perhaps their faculty to make decisions or healthy decisions is faulty. But they are volunteering to stay in that relationship. No one's forcing them to.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, it's true that some people do derive pleasure from being givers, right?
Right.
Like some people
or
are,
being
some people
abused,
are like
for that,
that
matter.
Sexually, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people are sexual givers, and they just, all of their pleasure comes from making the other person happy, right?
I think those people exist.
No, I think those people exist too, yeah. But in that case, maybe the sexual relationship is one-sided, especially if they're with someone who's a taker, right?
Yeah.
There are successful...
Again, unequal, but voluntary and cooperative.
Right. And that extends beyond sex too. That extends into the realm of relationships.
Right, like the friendship
example.
There
are some
example,
people who
like,
are givers and some people who are takers, and sometimes they hook up and they find each other and they have relationships, but are those relationships voluntary? And I think yes, right?
Well, I would hope so. I mean, if they're not, then basically...
I guess we should get more specific than that. I mean,
Also, can you define what we're talking about in terms of reciprocity?
Well, reciprocity. Okay, so I guess let me give an example of reciprocity. So earlier, a couple months ago, there was someone I was interested in getting to know better, and I tried to engage this person and make plans to hang out with them and get to know them better. And the person would, a couple times the person engaged back with me and made plans with me and saw me and stuff. But then like the person just started flaking out on me a lot.
And not returning calls, that kind of thing?
Yeah, not returning calls or chats or, making tentative plans and then like not getting back to me about whether they were going to happen or not.
Mm.
And, quickly I got really sick of it and I said, okay, this, I don't want to be in a relationship like this. This person is clearly either too busy for me or not interested in me or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kind of moved on, but it didn't make me feel good because I felt like I was having to do all the work in contacting them and I wasn't getting anything back. Like I was putting out signals, I was putting out
right.
work. And I expected at least to have those signals bounce back to me if the person was interested. Or for them to say, like, hey, you know, I'm not really interested in you.
Right.
Know, like,
signals are kind of iffy, but I get your point.
Yeah.
Direct communication would have been more clear, but...
Yeah.
But I get your point. Or another example might be... you're interested in someone that lives far away.
Uh-huh.
And you always have to go to them. Instead of them being able to, or
yes.
them choosing to come to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe both like each other,
mm-hmm.
but you have to do all the work. Now, if you guys agree to it, that's one thing.
Sure, or
maybe
if there are extenuating circumstances,
sure.
I guess that, like, for instance, I have one friend that lives far away
uh-huh.
who doesn't have access to transportation.
Right.
So this person doesn't have a car, doesn't really have a way to get to me, to see me. And so... I say, okay, well, I'm all right with being the one who travels to get to them, but then they make it up to me in other ways. Like, they'll cook me dinner if I go visit them, or they'll take me out somewhere, or they'll, you know, give me a gift, or, you know, so something that I feel like I'm not the only one putting effort into maintaining the relationship, right?
So is that's the reciprocity, the fact that you're both giving?
Yeah, the fact that you're
okay.
both making an effort to let the other person know that you...
Matter.
Appreciate
yes.
them and matter, yes.
Okay, then the question is, how do you maintain that in relationships over the long term, I believe?
Yeah, and how do you maintain that, and how do you attain that dynamic from the beginning, I guess? How do you set the tempo that says that you
You're
want,
right, okay, because
yeah.
in that last example, or
uh-huh.
in that last example,
yeah.
perhaps you meet someone not at your home and not at their home,
mm-hmm.
and you like each other and you want to hang out, and then you discover that they live really far away and they don't have a car and you're going to be doing all the driving. You didn't set this up. You didn't agree to anything. And
right.
all of a sudden, you're going through a lot of effort.
Right.
So that is not one that's planned.
So, it's not planned, but it's still voluntary if you continue to go
well,
visit
Well,
right,
them, but that's right? what we're talking about. So how do you set up the dynamic where there is mm-hmm. reciprocity? Maybe
uh-huh.
you could simply communicate. I mean, in that example, you could say, look, you
yes.
know, I spend a lot of money in gas and a lot hours of my time driving, or, you know, whatever the situation
right.
is. And maybe in exchange for that, you could make yourself available at better hours, or, you know, whatever,
right.
whatever is, needs to be the trade.
Yeah. Or you could, if I'm going to spend my time to come visit you, you could, help me out by doing some, you know, working on some project that we're working on together, like
right.
picking up the slack with that or something.
Right. Or for that matter, if, let's say that the other person has a trait, I think we've talked about this in a past podcast, like, let's say they're always late.
Yes, we've talked about this.
Yeah, and maybe you don't mind if someone's always late, but maybe you could say, you know, I've put forth so much effort and time that when I come to see you, that could be the time that you're not late, or
mm-hmm.
something, as long as the... my
could
point
be
is...
the time that, please don't be late.
Yeah, well, you can hope they're not late. But my point is, if you communicate about in advance, or at least in advance of your knowing that there's going to be a potential problem or an imbalance,
yeah,
that you need some reciprocity. You could say, look, this is what I'm putting forth, and I don't feel that I'm getting enough back. I guess that sounds really selfish, though, doesn't it? Selfish in the bad way.
No, it doesn't sound selfish. I don't think it's okay. I mean, I don't think it's wrong to stand up for yourself and to say, hey, I feel a little bit like this is, relationship is one-sided,
yeah.
and I like you. I'm interested in continuing this relationship, but I don't want to be the one who does all the work. And I think, like, for some relationships, that's just inherently more of a problem than
yeah.
with others, right? Aren't there some people who just aren't really, they're selfish or for whatever they're oblivious to other people's feelings or whatever. They're just not good at reciprocity. Have you encountered people like that?
I certainly have. I know of one now, although I don't have a personal relationship. I know of one, a person like that. And so I guess is this person who asked the question asking, how would you take a person like that and establish a reciprocal relationship? Or not, because some people just don't want to be reciprocal. They want to take and not give, or give and not take, or they want to be one-sided.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what the question asker was asking, but I think that you have to recognize those people and then run.
Yeah, well, yeah, run.
Run away.
Run away!
But I guess he might be asking, how do you improve your own... how do you improve your own ability to be a reciprocal person, right? How do you pay attention to those? And I think that's a really good question. And I think it's worth paying attention to, because you want people to like you, right? You want people to want to form relationships with you. And what better way to do that than to be good to them and to treat them well, right?
Yeah, if you make them happy, they will make you happy.
Yeah.
Well, not make, but if you help them be happy, they will help you be happy.
Sure, right.
I forgot what I was going to say. Something about... Damn it, I forgot. Oh! I'm sure that was
well,
a useful little interruption right there.
Usually it's the other... The shoe's on the other foot. I'm interrupting you, and you forget what you were saying because I'm talking about a bunch of bullshit.
I interrupted myself and forgot what I was saying.
Yeah, that's pretty difficult. I'm surprised you could pull that off.
how about more examples of different kinds of relationships then? Like maybe you and your boss or... I don't know what other kinds of relationships are there.
Your
kids?
Sure,
let's
talk about work relationships. I don't know. The person that asked the question, when he used the key words that made me think of communism, I just thought of, you know, people who say that, oh, like, every boss is exploiting. I don't think this is what the question asker was saying, but I thought of people who say, like, every boss is inherently exploiting their workers because the workers are this, like, oppressed class and
And they have no choice. They must work there. They must accept the terms.
Right, they have no choice of what job they take, right?
Actually, you know what? This is probably very metaphorically similar to sub and dom. They get into
it
voluntarily.
Yeah. I think this person, if you said that, I think this person would counter with, yes, but in a lot of situations, if it were a true free market and there were no state,
right,
there would be a lot more competition in employer-employee relationships. And there would be a lot more choices of how people could earn a living. And so it has somewhat of a, it's less voluntary than if it were
in a free market.
Truly free market.
I will give you that, but I don't see the government-stifled version of capitalism that we have now or version of free market that we have now as being not having a lot of options.
There's no, I think there are
thousands
of
types of jobs you could get and arrangements within each job and industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could work for a boss, you could work... for yourself, you could be a contractor, and that's in every type of job.
Yeah.
So I think there's tons of options, and all of them, I guess my point before saying that was even that no matter what you do to earn money or to trade or whatever, it's all voluntary. So if you take a job that, let's call it a 9-to-5.
It's voluntary to the extent that you have the options that you have, and you're choosing among those options, but
right.
I think this person would probably say that there could be so many more options
without
the state.
Yes, right. I completely agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
But in terms of maintaining a relationship or establishing a relationship that's reciprocal, if you become an employee and your pay is less than you want and there's not good benefits and your boss makes demands that you work.
You can negotiate too,
exactly,
right?
That's my point. You're still taking the job. You do not have to be there. You could quit it and go take another shitty job that gets slightly better benefits. Or you could...
Or you could
communicate
tell, you
and
could
say,
tell
I'm worth more
and
I'm leaving if you don't give me it.
Right, exactly. You could use your power as right,
right.
That you have to leave.
Right.
To exit the relationship.
Right. And of course, I'm using very harsh terms, but you could be very polite about it and friendly. And you could say, you know, I don't want to leave, but I really need to earn more, so I'll stay for a month and train your next person or whatever. You could do it friendly,
you could
do it not.
You could negotiate. You could say, okay, well, I'm going to put it out there that... I would like a raise, and if you can give me this raise, then I'll work some extra hours, or I'll take this shift that nobody else wants to take, or something
right.
like that,
right?
Right? So both parties are kind of giving a little, I guess.
Right.
Right. Sometimes if you want to get someone to do something, you have to offer, you have to make, bend a little bit first, right? You have to negotiate with them and offer something to them.
Right.
So that they'll want to offer something back to you. Is that, do you think that's an accurate statement?
I do, although I'm kind of confused whether that's really a compromise or is that just a barter? Because, you know.
Well, it might be a barter. Like, I don't know, for instance.
It could be either, I think.
Yeah. Well, for instance, I have a domestic partnership. I live with someone, and I live in a nice house, but I really hate to clean the house. And so
I hadn't noticed looking around.
Yes, as we say often on Pork Therapy, good thing this isn't a video podcast. But anyway, so the person that I live with is my romantic partner, and I really wanted him to clean my house, but I didn't want to just say like, hey, why don't you clean my house because because you're really lucky to be with me. And so instead I said, hey, you know, I noticed that you're a lot more efficient at cleaning the house than I am, and it takes me like forever when I do it, but you seem to get it done really fast and you don't really seem to mind it that much. Would you like it if I did your laundry in exchange for you cleaning the house once a month?
And he agreed,
and we've had that arrangement for almost 2 years, and it's worked out pretty well. I mean, there have been a few times where one of us has slacked off on our end of the bargain, but then, you know, we just bring it up with each other, and hey, we had an agreement, we had a deal, you haven't been holding up your end of the bargain, oh, okay, you're right, I'm sorry, I'll do it this weekend.
Right. So in that example and the previous business example, it basically comes down to voluntary inequality. Hey everybody, this is Mike, and this particular podcast went on so long we decided to split it into two episodes. So this one will be continued next time. See ya!